Welcome to Unleash Your Courage. Whether you're joining us live on Facebook or on Turfs Up Radio, this is a show where we talk about facing your fears, getting uncomfortable, and making some courageous decisions. I'm your host, Angela Schroeder, and I'm excited to have Drew Larison. Did I say that right?
Larison,
Larison. Okay,
Larison.
I have to tell a story about getting uncomfortable because I knew I wouldn't say it right. I just had the realization today when somebody told me this, and then I was like, I'll say, you're the first guest I've said the last name, and I don't know, we're in the 20s and
Interesting.
30s episodes. I struggle with, I've always struggled with, I have a form of dyslexia that I have the inability to sound out words or do phonics. So
Gotcha.
read everything and say everything only by memorization. And
Gotcha.
it a strong memorization, like a strong repeated
Yeah.
for
Well,
me to.
I'll make it easier for you to remember in the future. So in the
Okay.
future. So
Okay.
Larison is my last name. And when I was in high school, I wish we could like throw in a photo. I used to have like really curly, almost like an afro style hair. And like I had really long curly hair. And when I was like getting to that age of high school where everybody was getting their nicknames, I either had Harry due to my hair or Larry due to Larison. So Larry Larison, that's how it happened. So hope
Larry.
maybe that'll like help you remember it.
It does. That's an and I said Larry before we started, and then I was like,
Yeah.
nope, I blew it. But
You're good.
someone told me, they're like, this is a radio show and a podcast, and you only say the people's first name
You're
ever. And I
good.
was like,
They
okay, I'm
can
gonna get
see it. They can see it under my face. It's
I'm gonna
good.
try. Yes. Okay. So, Drew, before we get started, tell the audience a little bit about you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the founder and CEO of Larison Media. We're a small business digital marketing agency based out of Kokomo, Indiana, which is about 45 miles straight north of Indianapolis in Indiana. We're actually turning 8 years old this month. So June 25th, we'll be 8 years old as a company. But yeah, it's pretty simple. We exist to partner with small businesses and help to increase their impact that they're having, whether that's internally, locally, and beyond, because we truly believe that small business owners have the power to change the world, and we love playing a little role in that. And we do that by digital marketing services like social media management services, paid ad services. We create really great websites for small business owners as well. Anything you'd probably fit under that umbrella of digital marketing, we do here at Larissa Media. And I mean, yes, I'm biased, but I think we do it really well.
I love your story about it. So I met Drew kind of briefly when we were part of a mastermind a few months ago, and then got to spend a more significant amount of time with you in New Orleans when we were just at a conference
Nolens. Yeah.
together. Yeah. Having lots of fun in the city. And then after, when you were sharing the story of your business, I believe that you do it really well. As I've watched and looked at your work, but I love the way you share the passion that how much you believe in small business owners
Yeah.
and helping them tell their story. When you talk about your business, whether it was just to me to describe what you did or as you just described it, it's so different than what you hear most people do. Like, here's our services and this is what we can do for you. And you tell it from the framework of how much you believe in those business owners, really want to come alongside and partner with them.
Sure. Yeah, and I think that probably comes from I grew up in a small business owner home. So I'm technically a fourth generation entrepreneur. It's kind of DNA on the Larison side of things. And I grew up in a business owner home. And at the dinner table at nights, I heard about the struggles. I heard about the hard times. I heard about the good times. My dad actually owned a business with my grandfather. So I always joke, mom always started every single dinner growing up asking my dad, what'd your dad have to say today? So like it's kind of all I knew. Growing up was this idea of a family ran business, which our business is family ran as well. My wife works for a sister company of Larison Media, and owns both companies with me. So it's kind of all I know. But the word that I said earlier that really is the heartbeat of what we do is the word impact. We want to help increase the impact of small business owners, specifically internally, whether that's helping them grow their business and maybe they get to hire more people. You know, people are literally could get jobs. People's lives could change. They could buy a house. They could buy a car. They could feed their kids better, go on vacations, potentially because of the marketing that we're doing for this small business owner. So like we can increase that impact locally for a company and then, or internally, but then we could also increase it locally. And, you know, nobody likes about talking about paying taxes, but potentially if we help grow one of our small businesses, they're going to pay more dollars locally to taxes, which means better roads, less potholes. We're in the Midwest. We understand what potholes are like. We don't want any of them, right? But like, there's probably going to be less potholes on the road that everybody's driving on. The schools are going to be better. So locally, that community is going to be better because of the impact that we could grow for our small business owner. And due to the internet and the world that we're in, beyond. We're going to help them increase their impact beyond, because with things like e-commerce and things like the internet, a small business owner doesn't only have to serve their community locally. They can literally serve the world, which goes to the last sentence of our why statement. We truly believe every small business has the potential to change the world. Every big business that exists, you look at Amazon, you look at Apple, all of those big boys that are out there, right? All of them started small. All of them started in a garage, and I just get jazzed on the idea that we potentially could play a role in helping a small business increase their impact to a point where they're the next big boy on the block. And it just makes me really excited.
Ah, you can tell the passion in your voice and as you tell that story, and it literally gives me chills. It did the first time that we talked, and hearing you say it again, I mean, listeners, doesn't it give you chills of just like you say that the impact of, I love that part of your why statement of that every small business has the ability to change the world. Like I want that on the whiteboard.
It's so true. And it's, you know, I hate that we have to use the word small, but like small businesses can have such a giant impact in so many different areas of the world. And a lot of times people don't even realize the impact that they're having. You know, a small business owner might hire somebody on because they need a new body in the office. But at the same time, like you're impacting a human's life by doing that. Your business has grown to a point where like literally you're providing a life and a lifestyle for somebody. And it's so cool. So from little things all the way to giant things that can change the world, that's what we try to do every day. How we do it is, yes, through digital marketing, social media, video services, website services, Google services. That's our how. But why we do it is because we get to wake up every day knowing we're changing the world for some small business owners across the country.
Oh, I love it. And you guys, the way Drew told the story, I mean, the way you tell the story of the why first and all of the things at the heartstring, this is why you should use Drew for marketing versus another marketing agency. And this wasn't to be the rah-rah Drew story, but your story of your company is such a great lesson in marketing and the way people do it. Of, you know, so many people tell you the how, what they do. Hey, this is, we design the best websites. We do this. And they're just focusing on the how. You showed us through your story of what marketing really is, of telling a story and then getting people bought into your why. I mean, you pulled at the heartstrings of, you know, me, and I think every other business owner, don't you want to be that? Don't you want to make the difference internally and change people's lives by the number of people you're able to hire? And don't you want to make your community better and then impact the world?
It's so true. And honestly, I have my wife to thank for this, because so my wife just came onto the business full time a little over 2 years ago. And she asked me a question one day. She said, I don't want to be morbid or anything. What happens to the purpose of your employees for their job, why they do what they do? What happens if you're not there? And like, not just like out of the office, but literally like, what if I die? What happens to the company? Is the why of Larison Media Drew's business? Or is there potentially something bigger? Could there be a bigger why behind why Larison Media does what we do, that even if you're not there, like you're 80, you die, whatever, the why of that business can move on. And, you know, we really dove into, let's figure this out, you know? So it took months to really figure out our why. It took many hours of sitting in meeting rooms, talking through it. But we did find that out. And we found that out by looking at some of our moments that we are most proud of the work that we've done, and then tying that in. And we actually love that so much. We actually provide Y Consulting now for small businesses, which is a really cool service where we can come in and help you through that process, you know, and like really help you figure out your why. And a lot of times the ones that we've done so far, you know it. You know it. You know why you started. You know why you want this business to exist. But sometimes as the years go on, you get busy, you get employees, you get more busy, you get more busy, and you get too focused on the how and the what that you forget the why. But, you know, if you sit down and really try to focus for a bit and try to remember why you started, it changes your whole mindset again. So it's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing, like really figuring out your why, because once you have that, every little decision that you have to make as a business owner from here on out, you have a North Star. Mm. And if that question that pops up, that decision that pops up that doesn't follow your North Star, your why, you don't do it. It's really simple. Very similar to something you've brought back to my attention, why you always wear black. I don't know if you noticed what I'm wearing today. I'm also wearing all black today. And it's just one less decision. You know, we get that decision fatigue as business owners, right? If you have that why, if you take that time to really figure out why your company exists, any question that pops up, any question of maybe it's services or big decisions, does it follow our why? Yes, then we're doing it. If it doesn't, we're not doing it. It just makes things so much easier.
Mm. I love that. And I wanted to make sure that we got into the why, because when we first talked, I could hear your passion for that. Not only how, you know, you committed to taking that step back and really doing the work to find out your what your why was and solidify that with your wife, and then how passionate you are about helping others through it. I love that you said North Star. I wrote that. Mm-hmm. I feel like I got all kinds of things for my board after this episode already.
Sure. Yeah.
But you're right in that I haven't reframed it in that way of decision fatigue for a while, because I think I'm in that, right? As visionaries, entrepreneur visionaries, we got all kinds of ideas, the squirrels, and opportunities that people present us that seem like great opportunities. And it's, do I go down that or not? And a lot of times when so much of it is coming at you, and I'm kind of in that, I'm going to admit I'm in that phase right now. Like, how do all these fit together? What do these fit together? And the problem is, I'm probably in the stage that feels overwhelmed, that I don't know what to do because I need to take a step back and figure out.
Just the world that we're in, we're all cursed with opportunity. Like, due to this thing called internet, we are cursed with so much opportunity that sometimes you're right. It is hard to choose which road should I go down. And I will say this, like I said, my wife and I, we love this whole process of why discovery so much for our businesses. We actually did a personal why discovery as well, which was also just blew my mind. So like, we have our why statements for our companies, but I also now have a why statement for my life. So, you know, you have business decisions that you have to make and you have that North Star for that. But then you have life decisions too, that I now have a North Star for my personal why. And my personal why is to be a positive influence so that we can make a large impact. That's it. Like, that, if everything that pops up in my life, if I am going to be a positive influence in what I'm trying to do, and that is going to help us as like a society and as people make some sort of large, great impact, I'm doing it. You know, so there's even like personal whys, and then also company wise too. So I don't know. I dove all in. I'm here for it.
Oh, I love this topic too. So, and you had said you did the personal why and the business why, and we had talked about it, but now I feel like I need to do this deep dive. I feel like just for myself.
We can talk about it more. It's a fascinating thing. Yeah.
And if you're lost, if you're sitting out there and thinking that you are cursed by opportunities, and I just had this talk with Michael Gregory a little while ago, like we go through seasons of, okay, I'm going to walk through these open doors. Mm-hmm. But the realization is that millionaires say yes and billionaires say no.
Yeah.
More often. And
that's good.
And I say those in money terms because Drew and I are both really talking about impact, and money motivates me because it directly reflects the number of people that you impact, right? Money, but you have to begin saying no to all those opportunities that are out there.
And it just, like I said, it just makes it so much easier to make those decisions because you have that North Star, whether it's your personal life or your business. And if it follows that North Star or if it strays left or right, it's an easier decision to make.
Absolutely. Well, I want to dive more into what that process looks like and how you help people with it. And then all kinds of things, Courage. But we're going to take our first commercial break. Before we do, if you are with us live on Facebook, don't forget to register through StreamYard so we can see your comments. We got some great people commenting, and I'll bring your comments and questions up right after this commercial break. All right, and we are back. So before we dive into those questions, I want to go a little more into this find your why and how you take other business owners through it. I mean, that must be exciting because you know what a difference it made for you. But tell me a little bit about how you and your wife take people through it.
Yeah, so there's different phases of this, and obviously it's different for every company, but we try to get obviously the owners of the business as well as kind of like their good lead team, the people that have been there for a while, or maybe it's honestly sometimes good for someone that's new to the company and just to get their perspective on things. But we sit down and we try, like I was saying, we try to get their stories of what is a moment where you are most proud of the work that you did, you know, or, you know, questions like that. And it was basically this 4-hour workshop that we worked through with a company, and I won't give it away too much, but basically we play Mad Libs and like we take little moments or words that they've said or moments that they've mentioned. And by the end of that 4-week work or 4-hour workshop, you have your what we call a candidate why statement, which is a full statement that basically wants you to sleep on and, you know, tweak a little bit for the next coming days. And then you've got your why. But it really involves the owners being there, asking really good questions. And I'll say this too, because I know in the home service world, there are probably some people that are hearing this and they're like, oh, this emotional mumbo jumbo, I'm in business to do this and all of this. Some of our best people, some of the most active people that have been in those why discoveries for us are people that when they showed up the first hour, they had no interest in being there. They were like, this is dumb. I have got like nails to hammer. I've got stuff to do. I've got yards to mow, all that kind of stuff. And by the end of it, they're like, this changed my entire life, you know, because it hit home with them so much. And some of those people are the ones that come up with the best why statement that everybody is agreeing on. It's just like, nope, that's it. Like you nailed it on the head. So what's cool about our discoveries that we do, my wife really does those first 4 hours. She's so great at it. She really pulls out the best answers of people, helps people really find those great stories that exist. And then what's cool about once you have that why statement, I come in and I'm like, all right, what are we going to do about it? What do we do with it, right? And that's where I can come in with like my marketing brain and my marketing strategies and be like, here's how we're going to tell people about your why. Here are some strategies on some video ideas, some social media content ideas that we're really going to nail down this why language and this statement to let people know what is your why, you know? So it's multi-part. We're thinking about expanding it even more to even like maybe a 12-month consulting plan for someone and like help them through a whole 12 months, not only just come up with it, but then also living out your why is really important too, because what's the point if you have it, if you're not living it out. So, you know, checking in throughout a 12-month process and helping them really implement this why, sell it to their staff, to where people are walking in their why all day.
Walking in their why. I love it. And we'll post all of your contact information and things. I'll get the right things from you to post in not only in this group, but in the show notes, if you are listening to how to reach out to Drew for marketing or all of this as well. But so many things you said in that are important. And I think you're right. A lot of people hear the why and think, oh, I don't need that emotion. I don't need that. But you hit home on like all the reasons for it. We talked about the decision fatigue and hey, it helps you make decisions in your business and everyone in your business make decisions, right? If everyone knows the why, all solidified on it, it's easy for everyone to know, do we go after this? Do we do this or not? Because it doesn't align with our why. It helps with when you said something about passion, I think when you really get your heartstrings attached to your why, it makes such a big difference in your daily that
Oh,
you
yeah.
feel like you, it's a different energy when you feel like you're walking in your why.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we get so caught in the details and the things that we're doing. And, you know, I talk about working in your own unique genius, the things you're good at, the things you're passionate about, and that get you close to your goal. And it all comes back to, you can't figure out what those things are unless you know your why, unless you
Yeah.
know what you're passionate about and really know what your, you know, your why attaches to your mission and vision as
Yeah,
well.
it's really figuring out, like, what do you want to change? Like, what do you want your business to be known for that really changed what it is? But it's also like, I get it. I'm a small business owner. I serve small business owners all day. I know that we wear 20 hats a day. And sometimes the same way Larissa Media maybe can come in and take a few of those hats from you and handle your social media, your paid marketing, maybe video production, things like that. Trust me, as a boss, having this why statement also takes a few hats off that I have to wear a day. Because, you know, as a boss, especially in a small business, your employees are looking to you as a leader. They're looking to you as a CFO, a CMO, all those C-level suites that a small business doesn't have. But trust me, when that small business owner employee knows what your why is and they get it, they're bought in, they're walking in it, that takes your hat off. That takes so many things off of your plate that you have to constantly be pitching this vision, you know, all those things. You're really trying to get your employees to buy into who you are and what you want this company to be. If they get your why, you don't need to do that anymore. They get it. They're bought in, they're sold. And honestly, this helps out in the hiring process. Like, every phase of a business, having a great why makes everything so much easier, you know, because if you're hiring an employee that thinks, I don't know, oh, I'm just going to sit on a mower and mow lawns all day, but they sit down in that first interview and you blow them away with your story of, like, here's why we're mowing lawns. Here's the impact a mowed lawn is going to have, or here's what the impact of what a new landscaping job is going to do. Changes their whole mindset before they even start, right? Because they're not just working for another company that mows and does landscaping. They're working for a company that has a deeper purpose than that. So if you really figure this out, it helps every phase of your business and makes your life just so much easier.
Yes. And I love that you dove deep into the team members and everybody being bought in, and that it's not just you and the task that you're doing, that they have a completely different energy of their task. And you talked about it from the marketing aspect with your workshop and how you come in and help them, you know, implement that. And that's where you did such a good job at the beginning. And even if you're not bought into the emotional or don't believe us on all the rest of his passion stuff, the marketing aspect alone, because when I heard your story, and so this, we'll tell it from a home services or any business aspect, but you told your story and your why and the impact. And I was so bought into the story of, I wanted that. I wanted to impact my internal team, impact my community, impact the world. So I really could care less about the details of the service you offered. Whereas if you were selling me the service, I'd be like, well, tell me, how well do your website perform? You know, I want statistics and results. How well do your websites perform? How well does this thing, you know, compared to other people? Instead, I didn't care about any of that because I was so bought into the reason. And that's for any service. Like, you started to tell it with landscaping and the internal team members. But if you're telling your clients that, and they're just bought into the beauty of their lawn and the extra time they have playing with the kids, they're so bought into the other thing, they don't care about the cost, or they don't care about the house, the details of the house.
Yeah, let's go. I'm glad you're pumped up about it, because it really is. It's an exciting thing. I don't even know this is what we were planning on talking about most today, but it's so real. It's so good. And it really does change everything. But yeah, I mean, let's just an example, like, someone, you know, you're reaching out to them trying to get a sale, and, you know, you say, yeah, we make websites and do digital marketing. Are you interested? Rather than like, hey, We want to find you where you are right now and find the impact that you're currently making. And we want to make it so much bigger. We want your employees to be making more money. We want you to be making more money. We want everything to just be growing and the impact that your business is creating. Which sales pitch sounds better, right? And it's like I said, every aspect of the business gets easier when you really find out your why, you know? And, you know, one of the best examples of this is there's a statement that people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And one of the best examples is Apple. Apple, which is probably one of the best examples in a lot of different case studies or workshops in business. But Apple makes phones, right? Like this phone is made by Apple. A lot of other people make phones. A lot of other people make computers. Sometimes tech-wise, spec-wise, a lot of the other computers are a lot better than what Apple is making. But why do you buy Apple? Apple has had the same phrase for a long time, and they want their people to be people that think differently. They've used that phrase, think differently. Even if the people that are buying their stuff don't actually think differently, who doesn't want to be known for being someone who thinks differently, right? But like that's their purpose. People buy MacBooks, they buy Apple phones. Because of that, they don't know anything about the technology. They don't know. They don't care that the camera maybe got 1% better from the previous version. They don't care. They're buying it because it's an Apple product. They know what Apple stands for. And it's just, you have to find out why you do what you do, why you want your company to exist, because that is why people will buy from you. Not because of what you do or how you do it. They will buy from you because of why you do it.
Absolutely. And I love that statement. People don't buy what you do, or yeah, they don't buy what you do. They buy why you do it. And too often we forget about that. And yeah. I didn't think we were going to go this deep into why too, but it is so real important deep. For, it's so important for all the things that I talk about, like decision fatigue, like you yeah. said, for this whole half and marketing. Too many yeah. small.
Well, businesses. It just becomes the starting point. I mean, we could have sat in here. We could have talked about social strategies. We could have talked about how vertical videos are getting 80% more engagement than other types of, we could have gone down that route. But honestly, what I truly believe is before you even start thinking about social content, before you even start thinking about social strategy or marketing content or branding, whatever it is, start with why. Everything else gets so much easier. You know how much easier it is to make content if you know your why? Instead of just being like, yep, here's a stock photo of a yard, we could mow yours, you know, like, or here's a nice picture of a flower. Do you want flowers? No. And, you know, people are consumed with content more than we ever have been. The stuff that's really going to stick out to them as they're scrolling and digging on their phones or just escaping for a little bit on social media platforms is the content that doesn't just say what you do. It explains why you do it. So, I mean, before we could talk strategy, we could talk content, editing, all those things. But if you don't have your why, it makes all those other things pretty pointless.
Absolutely. So that's what you begin with, people, for all these reasons. Right. Okay. I'm
gonna, start with why.
Put some, yeah, know your why, put some of it. We don't know who said that because they didn't let us know yet. But
secret. Facebook user. They're all Facebook users.
We don't know anyone's name. Okay. This one's a question, I believe. Okay.
Yeah.
Your opinion, should a small business continue to market if they're not completely able to take on work?
Great question. I guess two factors in that. Is that business not interested in growing? If you are happy where you're at, if you're happy with how many customers you currently have and you don't want to scale, maybe hire more employees to take on more work, that's one thing. But also, are all of your customers currently on lifetime contracts? Because I don't think that's how that exists, right? You're probably going to lose some every now and then. You're probably going to have some that come back or lose, and you're always getting new. I think it's always smart to stay in front of people. You know, whether it's, you know, you're trying to get a bunch of new business at one time, or you're just constantly trying to stay in front of people to stay top of mind. I think it's always smart to be marketing. Always be, you know, there's that... always be selling or always be closing, ABC. I'm an ABM guy, always be marketing, right? But I guess there's different ways of doing it. If you're happy with your current workload and you're not looking to scale, you're not looking to hire more people, maybe you just don't do it as intensively. Maybe you don't have a higher of a paid budget going out, and maybe it's just posts that are happening. But I think, yeah, you should always be showing people who you are and what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that because, like you said, on the relevance thing, you know, are your customers going to be with you forever? And if you disappear, you know, it is the world of, you know, the digital age out there. And if you disappear from any awareness whatsoever, your current clients are going, something has happened to you. So part of marketing,
there's always something more shiny, and you're sometimes you're that more shiny thing, you know? So, I mean, it's, I don't think there's a thing as a lifetime contract for a service business. I haven't seen those. So.
And this question, I think, really ties back to the why and sort of the questions you asked in the beginning. If you're not taking on work, why is that? Like, what, where is your why of, like, do you not want to grow your business? So really knowing that of, like, what your direction is, what your goals are you just in a season that you're, like, redoing processes and then ready to take it to the next level, or do you not want to grow?
Sure.
So I think
Sometimes people don't, and that's completely fine. That's a beautiful thing about owning your own business. You don't need to grow into this giant conglomerate of a business. So it's really just up to their own person. Some people don't want to grow, but even that, you're probably not going to have everybody for the rest of their life, and you'll want to replace them to at least stay at that level that you're wanting to stay at.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for your comments, everybody. Again, so we know who you are, you should register your name in StreamYard and keep commenting with the questions and let us know you're here. Okay, let's dive a little bit into some courage. So tell me about an entrepreneurial journey. Because you said in the beginning, fourth generation entrepreneur, and then it's DNA, which
as far as I know, it could be more. Yeah, we'll see.
Which I think is so true for many of us that it's just naturally in the DNA. So tell me a little bit about the decision to start a business, why you love being an entrepreneur, if there were some courageous decisions involved, you know, in the beginning.
Sure. Yeah. Oh man, where do I start? Yeah. So I was an employee at the start of my career. I had a few jobs. I was an internet marketing director at a car dealership. And then I got hired at my first agency that I worked at. And then outside of that, or after that agency, is when I ended up starting my own agency. And it's a good debate. I actually was meeting with a kid who just graduated high school last week. And he's kind of going through this whole thing. He's like, I know what I want to do. I know what my business is, but I'm also just scared. And I'm like, but you're 18. What are you afraid of? Like, you have so much life ahead of you. Like, if it, a job of an 18-year-old is anything, it is to screw up as much as possible because you have so much and learn from it because you have so much time to correct. But you know, it was valuable to be an employee for a bit before I was an owner. There is value in that. And the agency I worked at, I learned a lot of fundamentals of things that still exist in Larison Media today. So that was helpful. But the biggest reason I wanted to start my own thing is, like I said, it's kind of all I knew. And growing up in that small business owner home, I saw my dad being his own boss. I saw my grandpa doing it. It just made sense, you know? So I think I'm a unique case. I wasn't nervous. And that's what the yin and yang of my wife's relationship is really special, because she is the one that looks at risk a lot more than I do. I'm like, let's jump out of the plane. We'll build the parachute on the way down. She's like, no, we need to build like 10 parachutes to test out before we jump out of the plane. And usually we find ourselves right in the middle and it works out really well. But I just, one of my biggest fears in life is the fear of regret. I am terrified of being an old man on my deathbed and thinking back on the things I didn't do. And so, like, that's where my idea of not being afraid of risk comes from. Because, like, I don't know, I've screwed up a few times, but I've always been able to recover. And one of these maybe days will be harder than other times. But I just don't look at risk the same way other people do, which I think goes back to that DNA of an entrepreneur. So when it comes to, like, starting my first business, yeah, it was probably nerve-wracking for a day, but then I'm like, let's go, let's do this. And now 8 years later, almost, we're still here. And we actually have a sister company, that, like I said, my wife manages and operates, and same thing we're there. You know, I thought about it for a really long time. My wife was a journalist, in her previous career, and this is a local media company, the sister company. And I got so sick of other media locally not taking the internet seriously, is what I was saying enough. And I said, hey, there's an opportunity here, business-wise, absolutely. But it's also, I get really nervous when I see smaller communities not being informed well about what is going on in their communities. So we started that other media company, creating content in a way that I thought people would really pay attention to. And now I believe the city of Kokomo is a more informed, well-informed community because of what we're doing. But I mean, even starting that business was a nerve-wracking thing for about a day. But then I just jump in and I just like trying new things. And if they fail, they fail, you know, and we'll tweak. One of the guys that I followed really, really early in my career, and it's cool to see him turn what he's turned into, is Gary Vaynerchuk. Everybody knows about Gary Vee. And yeah. One of the things, the biggest life lessons Gary Vee ever taught me was to talk about being a business practitioner. He compares it to a medical practitioner. So a doctor, right? What they literally do for a living is practice medicine. These are people that go to school for 10 plus years. They are like the most educated people in our entire country, but they still, by definition, their job is practicing medicine. Every person that comes into their offices, the ER, the hospital, different symptoms, different ailments, different variables in their health. They have to practice medicine through medication, surgeries, doses, things like that to figure out what is the best way of doing it. What Gary has done in my brain is I'm a business practitioner. That's all I do. I practice business the same way a doctor practices medicine. My job as a business owner, especially in a creative business that I'm in, our job is to practice business. Our job is to practice marketing. Our job is to practice different strategies that we think might help our clients grow their impact. You know, and I think if you have that attitude of things, it kind of takes it off your shoulders a little bit, you know, because you realize there is no such thing as a perfect business owner. There is no such thing as an overnight success. Those things don't exist. But if you have that mindset of I'm here to practice business, I'm here to practice marketing, finance, whatever you do for a living, you got to take a deep breath. It's okay. Because even doctors, like I said, the most educated people in the world, they literally still practice every single day, you know? So that changed my entire mindset of the stress of owning a business. And hopefully I've passed that on to my staff as well as they're working with our clients on a daily basis. Figure it out. Try something. Tweak it. Do this. Is it working? Cool. Tweak it again to see if it worked better. Because, I mean, perfect is something that doesn't exist, right? Especially perfection. Perfection doesn't exist. So progress over perfection constantly has to be the mind of an entrepreneur, you know, because sometimes you get nervous, and I struggle with this at some points in my life, but you get nervous that something isn't going to be perfect. So then you stall and you don't do anything at all. You make no action because your fear of something not being perfect. Yeah. Perfect doesn't exist. Progress over perfection. Practice business. Practice marketing. Be a practitioner.
I love that. And I had never heard that frame of reference. And it's such a different one and unique. So thank you for sharing that. That's going to be a big takeaway too, because it takes the weight off, right? When you're thinking, I'm practicing business. I'm going to fail. This doesn't have to be perfect. We don't have to have the perfect process, that I am practicing and getting better and evolving every day. Instead
Isn't it crazy?
Of-
you talk about like surgeons too. And I know this is a term we've probably all heard before, but like exploratory surgery is a real thing. And it's like, it's a real thing that we're just okay with. Like these surgeons, these doctors, we don't know what's going on. So we're just going to cut you open and see what's going on in there. Like that's real. And it's a good strategy sometimes. More people need to just cut their businesses open for a second and just explore around and just see what's going on, you know, because it's completely okay to do that, rather than just being stalled and scared that everything's not perfect right in that moment.
Yeah. And we're going to try this. We're going to practice this. We're going to practice this new thing.
That's all you can do.
Absolutely. I love that you shared the analogy of the parachute of like, I'm just going to jump. And I think those are definitions, things, examples. I mean, I share that with you. I'm an ultimate visionary entrepreneur. Yeah. That doesn't even... Sometimes it's hard for people to relate and people on your teams to relate, because the thought of how to build a parachute isn't even a risk. It's just like, do you want to jump out of the plane? Okay.
Yeah. That sounds fun. Yeah.
But what a great partnership that you have with your wife as an integrator that is able to ask those questions in such a great balance in business. And if you don't know what we're talking about, read Rocket Fuel, or we've it a few times in episodes, but to be able to work together and come alongside, and because it's important, we like to jump out of the plane. It is also important to have the person that's asking us, maybe let's not
think bigger
every day.
Yeah. No, it's so true. And I hate to sound cheesy because I just keep going back to this, but one of the best things, because my wife and I obviously have had like debates about business where I'm just like, oh, let's start something. We'll just see how it works. She's like, no, we need to plan this out. We need to think this through. But I'll go back to it, man. The North Star of our why for both of our businesses has saved so many of those arguments. Because yes, there are details, there are variables with something new that we're going to start. But if we both can agree on the thing that if we start this new thing, does it follow that North Star why? That is such a better starting point rather than just like, I'm the crazy visionary with an idea and I like want to run with it right now. If we can at least both have that starting point that like this new idea still fits within the vision and the why of why our companies exist, it's so much of a better place to start.
I love that. Maybe that's why I was so attracted when you said, when you kept talking about the why and you guys doing that discovery together, that I was so like, I desperately need to revisit this again. JC and I just did a live on what it's like for two visionaries to be doing stuff, to be in a relationship and be doing business together. And it can be dangerous without that. Like, I think that exercise is needed because without the balance, I mean, you had the, you know, debates, but it's also when you have, you know, or in business as a partner with someone or in a relationship with two visionaries, you can jump off too many cliffs. Or, you know, don't have a focus. Just go like, yes. Okay. You want to do this? Yes. I want to do this? Yes, 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 yes. Without that North Star of, let's jump off because it aligns with what we want to do.
Makes sense. Yeah. So, I mean, even if it doesn't work out, right. And maybe this idea wasn't great. It didn't hit. You at least know we have no regret, going back to my biggest fear. You have no regret because you know, you tried something that fit within your why. You know, you tried something that, you know, it made sense with what you want your purpose to be. The hitting the ground hurts a lot less in that way. Yeah,
exactly. Well, because then it was attached to your regret and fear of regret. I think I have that too.
Biggest fear of my life. Yeah. There's even that's one of the biggest questions I ask Aaron, whether it's a business decision or honestly, like, I don't know. We're a big Disney family. Like, our family loves going to Disney World. And like, obviously Disney is not a cheap vacation, but like, our kids at such a perfect age. And I'm like, it always comes down to the question, will we regret it? Should we take the trip? Will we regret not taking this trip when they're 18 and out of our house? You know? So like, even like, regret fuels personal decisions too. And like, Aaron, I probably drive her crazy by asking her that, like, will we regret it? And if there's like 1% chance, like we might, like we're doing it then. Let's go. What do we have to lose? Let's go.
I do that with so many even smaller personal decisions of, because we can be pulled in so many directions and, you know, there might be like an obligation, like say a baby shower or like different things like that. But I always am leading with regret. Like, will I regret later disappointing that person, you know, the way I made that person feel, or will I regret not seizing this opportunity later? Like, I don't really have the energy to go to this event. I could meet someone there that could change, you know, a relationship, change my business. And it comes down to that. Will I regret later?
Regret is the worst thing. It's the worst thing.
Great thing to lead with. Okay. I cannot believe I'm like, oh, I always like get an alert from people when they're like, your time, like my team that helps me run the show, like, your time's over. So we got to wrap it up. I knew it was going to go quick. We could do a whole multi-series just on the why question.
I'm here for it. Let's go.
Okay. So we end each episode asking with a challenge to the audience of what is one thing that you need to do this week to get uncomfortable. And we're going to lead it with them. So I'll let you share and then I'll share. And that's our challenge to the audience. What is one thing this week you need to do to get uncomfortable?
Yeah, so you kind of mentioned it at the top. You and I met at this mastermind group. And actually, it meets this week as well. So I'm excited to go down. And I don't know, a lot of people probably see me and assume that I'm an extrovert or I love like being in super social situations. The older I get, the more I just become like a curmudgeon old man at giant social events. Like I'm such a creature of like comfort when it comes to like social and things. So one of the things that I'm doing this week is I'm going to this mastermind group. And honestly, it's getting easier and easier because I'm learning the people more and I'm getting those closer relationships with everybody. But like, I'm not someone that just walks around a room and starts talking to people. Like that is not my natural instinct to do that. So I think that's what I'm going to have to do.
You're going to walk around and talk to people?
I think I'm going to be like social, I think.
Oh, this is fun.
That. The social media guy, like having a hard time being social, you know, something.
This is going to be fun because I will be at this with you, so I can, you know, hold you accountable to if you're doing that.
I know.
It's funny because people think people like us, because we can speak well spoken, have energy, our energy in a room, are extroverts. And I am the
older I get for sure too.
Yeah. And I'm the same, like it is not my energy. And the last time I came to this event, I was new. I only knew one person, Dave Kaminsky, that brought me. And it was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be in this with, because I hated those moments of like, oh, should I go start a conversation with a new person? I felt like
it's real.
Honestly, like this elementary child, or can I like just hang on to this one person?
Well, okay. So your first one was the last time. So you remember I stood up like before, like right the meeting began, and I gave Marvin Salcido, who he owns Salcido Lawn in Tyler, Texas, who's a client of Larison Media, who's become just one of my really good friends now. I like gave him a gift because of all that he had done for Larison Media, and it was tied to impact. It was this, we have this really cool custom glass company in Kokomo, and they made this custom bowl that looked like if you threw like a pebble into a water, it looked like the impact of the pebble, right? So I awarded that. So I like stood up in front of this group that I've only been at a few times and like awarded this. And I texted a friend after and like, did I sound as terrified as I was internally or was it okay? You know, and it turned out to be okay. Like it was nervous. It was nerve wracking.
That was a really great story. I almost forgot about that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I'm going to join you on that. I had one other one I was going to say, but I'm going to join you and this will be fun because we can call each other out. And people that are there with us are probably listening to this and call us out.
That's probably true. Too much accountability right now. There's too much. I can't tell you.
I'm going to make myself not hang on to the people I know because this time would be easier, right? This time I now have a lot. I've built a lot of connections since the last one. I could easily stand and talk to you and Marvin and, you know, lots of different people, but I am going to seek out those moments to move away from the people that I know and be in comfortable conversations and see how many times I can meet a new person.
Which is, it's so silly because the first ever AMP group that I went to, I was sitting down at lunch by myself. Because the guy I was there with that I knew the best, he was like, I'm not sitting with you. He was doing exactly what you're saying. I need to sit with somebody I don't know. And guess who ended up sitting right across from me? Marvin Salcido. And like, literally that's how I met Marvin, is he came and sat next to me. He's like, I don't know who you are. Who are you? And we just started talking and it's turned into what it's turned into. So I know all the proof. I know how good it is to do things like that, but it doesn't make it easy. You're right. We need to be better at that.
Yeah, because we know the proof. We know the people that we have met along the way at these events and how much they've changed our lives. And, you know, I could have met you.
That's right.
But here we go, getting uncomfortable.
How much time do we have left?
What do you want to say? Go for it.
Well, I see Edward, who had the comment about continuing to market their business. He had a follow-up and he said, I have to buy another company truck. All right, Edward, you're lucky, because if it's not a people thing, it's a equipment thing. A truck is an asset, my friend. A truck is an asset that you could always sell. If it doesn't work out, sell the truck. You don't need to buy cash for this truck. You can just get that truck. It's an asset for your business. And honestly, I'm going to go back to what we were just talking about, risk. Or not risk, regret. If you don't buy this truck, and a year later, will you regret, we should have bought the truck, we should have expanded the business? If you have 1%, I'm looking at you, I'm looking right at the camera now. If you have 1% possible regret with that question, you should do it. Buy the truck, figure it out, you'll regret it. There's your answer.
Oh, I love that you caught that. Edward is a huge, huge supporter of the show. He's been
love it
with me in my community before I even did this. So Edward, I'm staying on you. Go buy the truck.
Go buy the truck.
Ah, and Megan says hello. And so Megan listened to our Uncomfortable, and I'm sure she'll be holding us accountable.
Yeah,
as well.
She likes to do that, doesn't she? Yeah.
Oh, gracious. Anyway, thank you so much, Drew, for your time today, sharing with the audience and all that you poured into us. I hope that, and is that Everett again? Great answer. I'm going to do it.
Boom. He's going to do it. Love it. I should get commission on that truck, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, and then I have similar regret going all the way back to
buy the truck. Hashtag buy the truck.
Hashtag buy the truck. Exactly. Oh, what a great episode. We got Edward to buy a truck.
Hey, that's impact. That is being a positive influence so that we can make a big impact happen right there. My personal why in reality. Love it.
Absolutely. And it couldn't be for a better person. So I hope you are all bought into how important the why is. And start with that. Start with why. So
start with why.
End with, besides start with why, what is one thing that you're going to do this week to get uncomfortable? Thanks again, Drew. And we'll see all of you next week.
See you soon.